The West Coast gyroplane community mourns a well-known pilot. A failed pump brings a little drama to life aboard the ISS. And AirVenture attendance is down, but not by much. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 3rd, 2010. The Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention gets underway officially today in Mentone, Indiana, and lots of low and slow aircraft are expected to arrive. Monday already saw about 10 gyroplanes, a powered parachute, and 3 hot air balloons in action. There are 70 powered paragliders registered to attend by the weekend. Watch for video coming soon on Aero TV. The event opens on a somber note. Paul Block of Cave Junction, Oregon, went down yesterday morning near the Illinois Valley Airport in Oregon in what's reported to be a Brock gyroplane with McCutcheon blades. He was 85 years old and well-known among enthusiasts in the West. KGW-TV in Portland reports the FAA inspected the wreckage, but will probably never know the cause unless there's an autopsy showing medical incapacitation. Experimental gyroplane accidents are not a priority for the NTSB. The Popular Rotorcraft Association has a response team made up of expert volunteers ready to assist in investigations, but they've only been called out once in the past several years. Hopefully, the news will at least keep pilots attentive during this morning's pilot briefing. Let's be careful out there. There's been a little drama aboard the International Space Station, but NASA says the crew is in no immediate danger and is back in normal work routines. Teams of flight controllers are continuing engineering analyses and refining spacewalk procedures to replace a failed ammonia pump module later this week. Expedition 24 astronauts Doug Wheelock and Tracy Caldwell Dyson currently are scheduled to start the repairs on the station's starboard truss on Thursday. The pump failed Saturday night, shutting down half the station's cooling system. That pump is used to feed ammonia coolant into the cooling loops, which maintain the proper temperatures for the station's electrical systems and avionics. There is a spare on board for that pump. The Experimental Aircraft Association is satisfied and no doubt breathing a sigh of relief after final attendance figures show AirVenture 2010 drew 535,000 attendees. That's down about 7% from last year. The numbers could have been much worse, with record rainfall in the days immediately preceding the event flooding popular parking and camping areas. EAA and AirVenture chairman Tom Poberesny commented on concerns early in the week, but added, quote, "The second half of the week, however, was outstanding, especially with such activities as those on Saturday that included the night air show. We were not only very pleased with the attendance figures, but also with the positive response and the upbeat spirit from all those who attended," unquote. I have to hand it to EAA for the amazing mobilization of its contingency plan, which managed to find pavement somewhere for all the heavy motorhomes and trailers, and to all the small airports around the region that parked planes that couldn't make it in the first couple of days. Well done all around. Up next on ANN, Airbus is stepping up A320 production. There's now a medical transport version of the Citation Mustang. And the Falcon 7X gets enhanced vision. You're listening to Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Piperjet.
Pipersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Here's a fortunate economic sign. Airbus says it plans to increase the monthly production rate of its A320 family aircraft to 38 per month in August 2011, and then to 40 per month in the first quarter of 2012. That's up from 34 now. Airbus cites continuing strong demand for its single-aisle aircraft, as recently underlined by the 206 new commitments announced during the Farnborough Airshow, and a record backlog in excess of more than 2,200 A320 family aircraft. Airbus delivered a total of 498 aircraft in 2009, and 402 of them were A320 variants. Cessna announced at AirVenture it has teamed up with Spectrum Aeromed to develop a medical transport version of the Citation Mustang. Spectrum is based in Fargo, North Dakota, and developed the medical interior and patient loading system for the Mustang. Spectrum is pursuing an STC, while Cessna develops the pre-installation modification, including an enhanced power system and new aft-facing folding seat to accommodate patient loading. The first delivery is set for October to Jet Budget, a Caribbean charter operator. Dassault Falcon reports it's received certification from EASA to equip its flagship 7X with its proprietary Enhanced Flight Vision System. Certification from the FAA is expected this month. EFVS provides an image on the heads-up guidance system and on flight deck displays that enables pilots to see the terrain and airport environment in low visibility conditions, such as fog, haze, and at night. Dassault's technology uses an LCD heads-up display to optimize the video for either an approach configuration to enhance runway lights or a general-purpose configuration. It also features special video processing developed to minimize artifacts and distortion. Still ahead, the Air Force picks the F-35's new homes. Canada Geese now have their own Facebook page. And DFW observes 25 years in the fight against wind shear. You're listening to Aero News.
The Waco YMF-5D is an open cockpit sport biplane that embodies the golden age of aviation in a new production aircraft. The evolution of the new D model Waco incorporates many new features and upgrades, delivering greater performance than ever before, but with more horsepower and lower aircraft weight. Your new Waco is completely customized to your exact specifications, including your choice of avionics. Own and live the dream yourself with the new Waco YMF-5D. Check out the dream at www.wacoclassic.com.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 3rd. I'm Paul Plagg. The Air Force has announced the preferred alternatives for operational and training F-35 Joint Strike Fighter bases. Teams surveyed each candidate base for feasibility, timing, cost, and planning purposes to meet initial operational capability timelines. The preferred alternative locations are Hill Air Force Base in Utah and Burlington Air Guard Station in Vermont for operations, and Luke Air Force Base in Arizona for training. Kathleen Ferguson, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Installations, stresses these are not final decisions. Quote, "Other reasonable alternatives will continue to be evaluated in the environmental impact analysis process," unquote. The chorus of animal conservationists is rising in defense of Canada geese, which have been rounded up in mass numbers and euthanized in the New York City area since the famous forced ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 last year. As with alligators in Florida and white-tailed deer just about everywhere, efforts to save the geese from extinction have been almost too successful. Experts say Canada geese in the U.S. now number in the millions. The Los Angeles Times reports that after the last roundup of geese in New York parks, animal activists launched a Facebook page on behalf of the geese, which now have 500-plus friends. And finally, yesterday marked a somber anniversary. 25 years since the crash of Delta Airlines Flight 191 at Dallas-Fort Worth on August 2, 1985. The accident is considered a watershed in the understanding of microburst winds as a potential accident cause. A total of 137 people, including a motorist whose car was hit by one of the plane's engines, lost their lives. The Dallas Morning News reports that DFW now has 18 wind shear detection towers and two large golf ball-shaped Doppler radar arrays to hunt for threats. The airport has also revised response procedures. Alan Black, DFW's VP of Public Safety, tells the paper, quote, "Am I worried? They pay me to be worried, and I worry every night. That's why we work on every aspect of our response every day, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with John Nielsen of Flight Resource about MT propellers and how they're made. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.